In the time of Eliyahu HaNavi, Kinalach was a shlef, the king, and his wife. And we've heard about them. The king's name was Achav, and his wife's name was Izevel. Big Rishoyim. And they believed in a getchke called the Baal. And they were so shlecht, Kinalach, they chased after all the tzaddikim, and they caught the tzaddikim, and they killed the tzaddikim. And the only tzaddik that was left from the Yidden, and the only Navi that was left, was Eliyahu HaNavi. He was the last one left, because he kept running away from them, and they could not get him. And the Baal, that getchke, had 450 people that said they were the Nevi'im from the Baal. They said that they were the leaders of the getchke of the Baal. And one time such a thing happened that Eliyahu Navi said, once and for all, let the people see who is really Hashem. Is it Hashem, or is it, like you say, the Baal? Because a lot of Yidden were very mixed up. They didn't know if the Baal is Hashem, like Izevel and Achav kept telling everybody you have to dive into the Baal, or if Hashem is Hashem. They were so mixed up, they didn't even know what to do. And some people had in their house a siddur and a chumash and a pushke, but also they had in the closet a getchke, the Baal. And they would take out the getchke and they would daven to the getchke. And in the morning they would daven shacharis, and they would also daven a little bit to the Baal. And in the afternoon they would daven mincha, and they would daven a little bit to the Baal. And at nighttime they daven ma'ariv, but then they go into the closet and take out the getchke and daven a little bit to the getchke. And these people were called Poiseach al Shtei HaSeipim. It's like you go back and forth. Is it the Baal? Is it Hashem? Is it the Baal? Is it Hashem? Back and forth, and they didn't know exactly what to do. They were all mixed up. And Eliyahu HaNavi said, we're going to have a contest, and it'll prove to everyone once and for all who is really the Emes, the truth, and Hashem. And this took place on the mountain called Har HaKarmel in Eretz Yisrael, the mountain of Carmel. Everybody went there, and Eliyahu said, there's two sides in the contest. There's the Baal, and there's Hashem Lahavdil. The Nevi'im of the Baal are going to make a Mizbeach, and they're going to take one of the two cows that will be ready for a korban. Two cows will be ready for a korban. And they will make a korban. They will put the animal on the mizbeach with the wood. And then they're going to daven to the Baal that he should send the fire. They will not be allowed to put the fire. They will daven to their Baal to send the fire. And I will do the same. I'll build another mizbeach. And I'll take the other cow to make a korban, and I'll daven to Hashem, and whoever sends the fire down from the himmel, whoever sends the fire to burn up the korban, that shows that he is really the true Hashem. And everybody said, that's a good contest. And so they came to the mountain of Carmel, Har HaKarmel, and Eliyahu said, the Nevi'im of the Baal will go first because they're the most. They're 450 against one, so I let you go first. And they built their Mizbeach, and they set out their wood. And now they go to the animals. There was two cows there ready to be korbanos. And now they try to get one of the cows to come to the Mizbeach, and the cow would not move. And they tried to schlep it, and they tried to push it, and the cow would not move. Eliyahu HaNavi walked over to the cow and he said, what's the problem? And the cow said to Eliyahu, I don't want to go and be a korban for them. Hashem made me, And I should go and be a korban for people that daven tagechkes? I don't want to go. So I'm staying here. For you, I'll be a korban, not for them. And Eliyahu said to the cow, look, you have to go. And the cow said, no, let the other one go. And the other cow said, no, no, they chose you, you go. I don't want to go. And they both said to Eliyahu, we don't want to go. For you, we'll both go. Eliyahu said, look, one of you has to go to them. And I'm telling you that it's going to be a Kiddush Hashem, even though you're going for them. In the end, you're helping me out. So please go. Okay, if you say so, Eliyahu, I'll go. So then finally the cow goes to the Nevi'e HaBaal. And they took the cow and they made him to be a korban. They only put him on the Mizbeach over there after they killed it. They didn't shecht it, they killed it. And Kinalach, the Nevi'im of the Baal, started to daven to the Baal. Baal, Baal, send us the fire and show everybody that you're really the true Hashem. Send a fire, Baal. Show everybody that you made the world and you take care of the whole world. Baal, Baal. And they're davening to the Baal. The Kinalach, Hashem knows everything and Hashem sees everything. As the Nevi'im of the Baal were building the Mizbeach, they made a trick. They made an empty place in the middle of the Mizbeach. And over there, there crawled in a man that nobody saw when he crawled in. And when nobody was looking, Chiel, who was a big Rasha. And if you remember in other stories, Chiel was the one who built Yericho. Even though Hashem said not to, and even though he lost Nebuchadnezzar, all of his children, he built Yericho against the mitzvah of Hashem. This Chiel went in the empty place of the Mizbeach with a box of matches. And he said, I'm going to make a fire, and I'm going to burn up the korban with my matches and my fire, and that way we're for sure going to win the contest. As you see, even the Nevi'i HaBaal also doubt the Baal, if the Baal really has koiches to do anything. And he was in there with his matches, and at the signal that the other Nevi'im would give him, he's going to make a fire, and it's going to look like the Baal sent the fire. Just as he was ready to strike the matches, all of a sudden, a snake was crawling in the ground, just at that place. A snake crawled up, came up through a hole, and it saw Chiel in there, and it gave him a good bite with his poisonous mouth, a good bite in Chiel's leg, and it killed Chiel before he could strike the matches. As we see, Kinalach, everything comes from Hashem, and everything is a shliach from Hashem. Even a poisonous snake can be a shliach to help the Yidden. And the Nevi'im of the Baal saw that there was no fire coming out. They saw that their trick was not working, so they really have to dive into the Baal now. Baal, Baal, send us a fire. And they're davening and they're davening. And Eliyahu says, listen, maybe the Baal is sleeping. You have to wake him up. Or maybe he's busy, or maybe he went somewhere, so you have to daven louder. He's got to hear you. Let's go. And they start to scream, Baal, Baal. And the whole day they're screaming and they're jumping up and down and they're cutting themselves with swords and spears. They used to do that when they davened until blood comes out. They did all kinds of weird things. And the whole time they're davening and nothing is happening at all until they're just falling on the floor. They're so tired from davening. And now, Kinalach, it was the afternoon. It was mincha time. And it was time now for Eliyahu HaNavi that he should make his korban. He took 12 stones because of the 12 shvatim. And he built a mizbeach. And he took the wood and he took the other cow and he shechted him and he made him to be a korban on the mizbeach. And now he did a very strange thing as everybody was watching. He says, I'm going to prove to everyone that Hashem is Hashem. And you should only daven to Hashem. He said to people like this, bring me four buckets. And they got four buckets. And he says, go to the river and fill up the four buckets with water. And as they went to the river, Eliyahu started to dig like a big hole all around the Mizbeach. Like a big trench, like a ditch, all around the Mizbeach, a big one. And he said, pour the four buckets of water all over the korban and all over the wood and all over the stones and make it wet. They said, wait a minute. Don't you want a fire to come? Doesn't it have to burn up the korban and the wood? Water puts out fire. Eliyahu HaNavi says, don't worry, just do as I say. Pour the water. And they poured the four big buckets of water, and they made everything so wet, and the water that ran down started to fill up the ditch around, making like a little pool, like a lake around the Mizbeach. And Eliyahu says, go again to the river and fill up the buckets again. And they brought four more buckets of water, and they poured the water all over the korban and all over the wood. And it fell down, the water that came off started filling up the trench. Like there was a swimming pool all around the Mizbeach. And Eliyahu said, go one more time to the river and fill up four more buckets of water. And for the third time, they filled up the four buckets of water and they drenched it all. And it was soaking wet. Everything was soaking wet. And of course, everybody thinks, what's going on over here? They don't understand what's happening. And then now, Kinalach, as the sun was going down, it was mamish the mincha, the time of mincha, a very special halakha time of mincha. Eliyahu said, not screaming, but he said that everybody could hear, Hashem, show everyone that they're making a mistake by ever thinking about the Baal, and show them that you are really Hashem, and that you are the one that takes care of the whole world. And as he was davening to Hashem, a fire came down from the Himmel. And it came down and it burned up the korban. And it burned up the wood. And it burned up the stones. And it burned up all the water. And everything went up to Hashem. And everyone fell on their face. And they said the words we say on Yom Kippur, Hashem hu hu alakim, Hashem hu hu alakim. And everyone saw the big miracle that Hashem did. And of course, after that, they went home. They went into the closets and into the drawers and wherever they had over there the getchkes, and they threw all of the getchkes they threw into the garbage can, and that was the end of the getchkes of the Baal. They threw all the getchkes in the garbage can. Now, Kinalach, there was once a king, and this king had an officer, a Mishnah Lamelech, the second to the king, and he was a Yid, because this Yid was very smart, and this Yid was very, very good, and the king loved this Yid, and he made him his Mishnah Lamelech, but the other officers were very jealous, and they were always looking for a way that the king should get upset at his Mishnah Lamelech and throw him out of the palace, because they were so jealous that a Jew had such a high position and a high job, and they were only regular officers, and they were so jealous because each one of them wanted to be the Mishnah Lamelech. And they were always trying. So one day these officers made a meeting and they said, let's spy on the Mishnah Lamelech, on the Yid. We'll spy on him day and night until we find something about him that we can tell the king that something about him is no good and the king should throw him out of the palace. And one of us will get to be the Mishnah Lamelech. We'll find something that the king will not like about him. And if we spy on him day and night, we're sure to find something that we can tattletale to the king and make him look bad. And for sure, the king is going to throw him out of the palace, and one of us will get to be the Mishnah Lamelech. Yes. And so they started spying on him wherever he goes, during the daytime and during the nighttime. They even went to his house and were peeking in the windows to see if they could find something on him that he did that they could report to the king and tattletale and say lashon hara or lies. And one night, the officers outside were spying. They were peeking in a window. By the way, you're not allowed, if somebody doesn't know you're looking at them, to spy on them and to see what they're doing. It's not nice, and it's an aveda to go and peek in on somebody and just spy on them like that. Now, the Yid was sitting by his desk, and he was counting money. He had a bag of money, and he was counting the money. Oh, look at the Mishnah Lamelech. He's counting a whole bunch of money. I wonder how much is there. Let's listen very closely and hear how much is there. And he's counting and he's counting and he's counting. And he counts $500. 500, in those days it was like a round coin made out of silver. 500 silver dollars. Okay, put this away. He told his servant, he says, put this away back in the wall. There was a safe. There was a place that he had a lock on there, and he locked it up. Okay, put the $500 back in the wall. That's going to stay here in the house. And then he counted more money, and he put it into a second bag. He counted out $200. He says to his shamish, we'll leave this by my talis and tefillin, and tomorrow when I go to shul, I'm going to give this for tzedakah to the poor people. $200 is for tzedakah, and $500 stays in the house for the family and for things that we need in the house. The officers say, maybe we could make some kind of a story about this to see how much money the Jew is going to report that he has. If the king asks him, let's see what he says to the king. If he tells the truth about how much money he has or not. Maybe we can catch him in a lie. Now remember, $500 he put away for himself, and $200 he's going to take to give to poor people. And the officers go to the king in the palace, and they say to the king, do you ever let the Jewish officer, the Mishnah Lamelech, do you ever let him count your money or go to the bank, or do you ever let him handle your bags of gold and silver? And the king says, well, of course, I trust my Mishnah Lamelech. After all, he's very honest. And many times I give him money to put into my treasure house, or I to take to the bank, or I give him money that he should give to other officers or other people that I have to give money to. And I trust my Jewish officer. Oh, king, we're afraid that your officer, the Jew, might not be so honest with money. And we want you, just please, king, to make sure, we don't want you to lose any of your money. We don't want you, that somebody should take your money without you asking or anything like that. Why don't you ask the Jew how much money he has for himself? And we happen to know, we were passing by one night, and we saw him in his window. He was counting money by his desk, and he was putting it away. And he has a safe. Now, we weren't peeking or anything. We just happened to be walking by, and we saw in the window, you know. And in the safe, he put money. And we know how much he put there. And see if he tells you the truth. Ask him how much money that he has for himself. And the king says, well, it's a good idea to every once in a while test my officers. Okay, I'll call him in. And he sent for the Mishnah Lamelech, And he says, please tell me, how much money do you have for yourself? And the Mishnah Lamelech answered right away to the king, for myself, I have $200. And the officers looked at each other. Oh, he's lying. We caught him now. Oh, we're going to get him in trouble. And one of the officers went over to the king and he says, the Jew is lying. Ask him again just to make sure. And the king says, now remember, I'm asking you a question. And to the king, you be very, very careful how you're answering the question. And the Jew says, I know, I'm very careful every time I speak to the king. How much money do you have that is your own for yourself? And the Jew answered right away, for myself, that's really for myself, $200. And the officers couldn't hold back anymore, and they said, you're telling a lie, you have $500 for yourself, and we can prove it. And they said, King, we could bring here the safe out of the wall and we'll open it in front of you and we'll count how much money is there and we'll show you in there is $500 and not $200. And if the officer is telling a lie, the king should make sure to get rid of him right away and throw him out of the palace. And the king says, don't worry, I'll do that if this is true, that he's not telling me the truth. And the group of officers went to the house and they took the safe out of the wall and they brought it to the king. And the king says to the Jew, open up the safe right now and we'll count how much money is inside. And they opened up the safe. The Yid opened up the safe and they counted the money, $500. And the king says, do you see? Here is $500 locked up in your safe. And how can you tell me $200? And the Jew says, King, I'll tell you again. You ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the answer. You ask me how much money I have for myself? $200. The king says, not only you're lying, but in front of my face, you're telling me such a thing? This is worse than lying. I'll have you thrown in jail, and I will have all your money taken away. And they took the $500 away, and they threw the Jew in jail. And that night, the king was thinking about what happened. And the officers were making a party. They were so happy that the Jew was going to get thrown out of the palace. But the king was thinking, you know, this Jew always was very honest. He was always very good and very smart. Now, if he lies, that's one thing, but how in front of the king and in front of everybody, and everybody counted how much money is there, how can he all of a sudden say something that is still not the truth? It doesn't make any sense. And the king figured out, he says, you know, maybe there's more to this than I really realize. I'm going to call everyone back and I'm going to see what's going on here. What's really going on here? And the king called for all of the officers to come back. And he called for the Mishnah Lamelech to come out of jail. And the officers had to stop their party and they had to come in front of the king. And they brought the Yid. And the king says, I'm giving you one more chance to explain what's going on. How, after we counted $500, you could say that for yourself is $200. And the Yid said, I'll explain everything, King. I was counting money in my house. I put away $200 in a bag to give to poor people. And I gave $500 in a bag that should be put in my safe for my family and for me. Aha, now you're telling the truth, right? So why you didn't tell before, says the king. And the Yid says, wait, I'm not finished. Because I'm answering your question. He says, I took that money in the morning to the shul and I gave it to poor people. With that, I got the mitzvah of giving tzedakah. When I gave that money away, I got for myself a mitzvah that can never be taken away, that lasts forever. When a Jew does a mitzvah, it is something that is connecting with Hashem who lasts forever, and the mitzvah is forever. No one can ever take that mitzvah away once it's done. Because it's a connection between the Jew and Hashem that lasts forever. Now, when you say, what is really for me? What I say is really for me is a mitzvah. Because that's mine, no one can ever take it away. That is mine forever. The $200 was really for me because I got the most important thing I can get with that money. That's a mitzvah. When you said, what's for me? That's what I answered you. Now the $500, I was not sure if that's going to be for me because it was locked up in a safe. First of all, who knows what's going to happen overnight? Maybe the money will be stolen. Maybe there will be a fire, it will be burned up. Who knows what can happen to that money before I spend it? And the fact is, the money did not become mine because you took it away before I could ever spend it. So it was not really my money. In the end, I lost it. What did I have in the end? The $200 I had because I gave for tzedakah, I got the mitzvah. That was mine forever. It was never taken away. The $500 you took away and you put in your own safe, so I never had it for myself. So I answered you honestly. You said, what is really your money? I answered you the $200 because that's really my money. I couldn't answer the $500 because I did not know if that would be really mine or not. What is really a Jew's is Torah mitzvahs. All the other things, it's not the same. And the king listened to his Mishnah Lamelech, how honest he was and how smart he was, and he sees that he was answering the truth the whole time. And he took off a different ring from his finger, and he made him even a higher officer than the Mishnah Lamelech. He gave him even more covet and more glory and honor and more special things. And all of the other officers, he kicked out of the palace, and they had to leave, they had to turn in their uniforms, and the next day, instead of coming to work in the palace, they had to go work in the gas station. And here is going to be the new story, Kinalach, of Rabbi Akiba and the snake lady, the snake queen. And it fits exactly with the inyan we learned in Chumash about Cain, as you're going to see in just a minute. That in the Chumash it said that Cain went out from in front of Hashem. And the question is, how do you go out from in front of Hashem if Hashem is everywhere? If you go out from in front of Hashem and you turn around, Hashem is there. One time, Kenalach, Rabbi Akiba went on a trip. He left Eretz Israel and he went traveling around different lands to visit the kings and the queens. He went to the royal palaces to visit the kings and the queens of different countries and different faraway places. And the reason that he went was in order to teach them the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the seven mitzvahs for the people that are not Yidden, that Hashem on Har Sinai gave Moshe Rabbeinu, not only the 613 mitzvahs for the Yidden, but he told Moshe Rabbeinu how even the Goyim should live in the world. They have seven mitzvahs. And these seven mitzvahs are all about how they should live in the world and make the world a settled, good place to live. If that's the purpose of the Goyim, is called Yishuv Ha'olam. The world should be a good place, a settled place, a nice place, a safe place. And if those people, if the Goyim do the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, then they have also a Chelek in Olam Haba. they have a reward in Olam Haba. And Hashem takes care of them and gives them a big reward. Now, one of those Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach is believing in Hashem. And they're not allowed to have Getchkes. A Goy is not allowed to believe in a Getchke. A Goy has to believe in Hashem. And so Rabbi Akiba went around to see what he can do to teach the kings and the queens the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. And of course, if he'll teach the kings and the queens, and they keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach, so they're going to help all the people of their country also to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. And that way, the world will be a better place. This was a shlichas for Rabbi Akiba to do. And by the way, many of the shluchim that the Rebbe sends out also do this kind of thing, and also many people, and even us, and even our parents, are able to do this kind of a thing, because if we talk to a goy, there's certain things that we could say to help him with the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach. Even your cleaning lady, or even somebody that comes to your house, you can sometimes speak to them about Hashem, and they'll understand it very well. And so one time Rabbi Akiba came to a palace, and he asked to speak to the king and the queen. And they said, well, in this country we have a queen, but she's busy right now, she's davening. And so you'll have to wait until she's done davening. Davening? Oh, well, that's very good that she's davening. Does she daven to Hashem? Oh, no. She doesn't daven to Hashem. In fact, we don't even know who Hashem is. No, she has a room full of snakes, and she davens to snakes. Different kinds of snakes, and she believes in snakes. She davens to them. Snakes? This is the first time that Rabbi Akiba heard about somebody davening to snakes. And they led him to a room to wait for the queen. And sure enough, he could see in the next room, the door was a little bit open, that the queen was davening to snakes, talking to them and davening to them and bowing down to them. Oy, Rabbi Akiba said, this is a